Presented by Business Roundtable.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. It is Wednesday, April 17th. Here is what's driving the day. In former President Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York, 7 people have been sworn in as jurors. That's more than a third of the total number of people that will be needed to hold a trial with a full jury and 6 alternates. The judge in the case said opening statements could begin as soon as Monday. The jury selection process sped up a little bit faster than people were expecting. The court will need to find 11 more folks to sit in on the president's case. And for those of you that have been watching this breathlessly, you will have a break today. The trial won't be occurring on Wednesdays for the course of the proceedings, so jury selection is expected to resume on Thursday morning. Also, if it's a day that ends in Y, there's chaos in the House of Representatives. First up, Representative Thomas Massie of Kentucky on Tuesday became the 2nd Republican to publicly back an attempt to end Johnson's speakership. Massie told Speaker Johnson this directly at a closed-door GOP conference meeting. All of this, of course, is tied to the long, long-stalled Ukraine aid. Also later today, the impeachment trial of Alejandro Mayorkas, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, will begin in the Senate. And joining me now to really get into all of that is my girl, Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. Rachel, hello, good morning.
Hey, Eugene.
You were on the Hill all day on Tuesday, running around. There's a lot going on. I want to start with the kind of latest on Speaker Johnson's plan for foreign assistance and how that's playing in the House, because my sense is not well.
Let's just say Speaker Johnson has had some better days.
Yeah. Has he?
Well, it's interesting because literally the readout I got from senior Republican sources in the House after he sort of rolled out this plan was the reaction was actually not that bad. Conservatives, they're not happy, but they're not squawking too much. We think we can do this. The question that night was actually, okay, will Democrats get on board and help us get this over the finish line? Well, you know, we reported that Democrats, after initially being, okay, we don't like this, they're now starting to come around, at least, you know, behind the scenes and say, okay, we can back this. We can swallow this plan as long as we get Ukraine aid. But Johnson started having real problems yesterday on his right flank. It started off early in the morning, House GOP conference meeting. Thomas Massie, who is this sort of libertarian-leaning Republican from Kentucky, he was always a pain in the ass for John Boehner and Paul Ryan, and actually became kind of an ally of Kevin McCarthy. He stood up and said, I'm going to co-sponsor the motion to vacate with Marjorie Taylor Greene. And he basically told him point blank, you're not going to be speaker long. And apparently the mood in the conference was extremely devastating.
Like, not this shit again.
It's going to happen. And so what that did was, it sort of set Johnson off into this like scramble to see if he could try to appease more conservatives on either the process or little things he can do around the edges of this foreign assistance package. He did a bunch of meetings with conservatives during the day. And I'm told from my sources that basically conservatives came in. They're like, we want HR2. We want, you know, a border crackdown. We want all these, you know, toxic provisions that if they add it to the bill, it will kill the foreign assistance package. So Johnson very much has to decide, does he want to legislate? Does he want to get this thing passed? Or does he want to keep his job? And I'm told that he is signaling to, you know, Republicans who are of this, like, you know, the defense hawks who really want to pass this, he wants to get this done. And if that's the case, he's going to have to tell these guys, look, too bad. And then we could see a potential vacate effort.
It will be something. I mean, the problem is if he appeases his right flank too much, then the Dems won't vote for it. And then you don't have this thing that everyone, after the Iranian attack on Israel, everyone was saying, both on the right and the left, this is the most important thing. We have to get right back to it. And I guess the most important question about this is, can he survive this?
I've talked to a bunch of Hill Republicans, and people are a little divided on this. There's a camp that thinks they're bluffing.
To what end? To what end are they bluffing?
It's a good question. To try to get him to back down on Ukraine aid. Maybe they think he will, that he wants to keep the job. But then there's a group that thinks that this is real and it's going to come to a head at some point. And that's why there are Republicans already making sort of a plan B. Okay, so we pass this thing. There's a motion to vacate. What happens then? And, you know, I talked to some Republicans who are saying, okay, Democrats could, quote, take a walk. You should register that phrase because it's going to come up over and over again. Basically, what it means is
pay attention, people.
Democrats basically either not showing up to vote when the motion to vacate is either tabled or killed in some way. Basically, it ensures that he can maintain the speakership. But I am convinced like this is like a temporary, you know, Band-Aid. It's not a long-term solution because other Republicans have told me that if that does happen, there's going to be motions to vacate that come up on a regular basis.
Worst job in Washington, D.C. Worst job in Washington, D.C. By far. Last question before I let you go. Today, we are going to see the trial start in the impeachment of Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. That's going to start at 1. You have some news about the things happening behind the scenes, but what should folks expect?
Well, it's not going to last long. But the question is, like, how long is it going to go? And, you know, there was initially this debate between Democrats about whether or not they should just dismiss this right away. They're going to swear senators in and dismiss right away. But then some Democratic senators said, okay, if we allow for a couple of hours of debate, maybe we pick up some Republican votes to dismiss. And some Democrats want the most bipartisan dismissal vote as possible. They would love some Republicans to join to sort of give cover to Mayorkas and cover, you know, just for the Democrats writ large that this is just, you know, as they say, a total, you know, sham. We're expecting that the leadership between the Democrats and the Republicans are going to keep trying to iron out this sort of agreement where they allow a number of hours or, you know, a certain amount of time to actually debate. They'll have votes on a number of Republican points of order to have a full trial. Those will fail. Those sorts of things will fail. But the big thing I think to note is that we're not going to hear from the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world. I think there was a big fear on the part of Democrats and actually some Republicans privately that Marjorie Taylor Greene was going to be on the floor, totally unfiltered, and have this sort of platform in the Senate where she could totally harangue the White House and Mayorkas with a bunch of false claims. Well, I'm told that that's like just not going to happen, or at least, you know, 98% not going to happen. The question is just, do they vote right away or do they have a few hours of, you know, back and forth and then vote? But it's not going to last long, Eugene.
Especially since they're going to lose, because not 2/3 of the Senate is going to do it.
That goes without saying. This thing is toast.
So. Yep. Well, Rachel, you have a very long rest of your week. Rest 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the rest of the month. It's very unclear, but there's a lot happening. So I'm going to let you go.
I'll sleep sometime, Eugene.
And for your schedule today, the House and the Senate are in. And as we discussed, they got a lot going on. And this afternoon, President Biden is going to be delivering remarks at the United Steelworkers headquarters in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's on a 3-day tour of Pennsylvania, Scranton, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia. I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.
Essential pro-growth tax policies have expired or are being phased out, making it more difficult for U.S. businesses to invest at home, create American jobs, and compete globally. The House has passed legislation to stop these tax increases on U.S. job creators. Now it's up to the Senate to act. It's time to strengthen America's global competitiveness. Pass the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act.